stand beside her and how that anointing would just come on me. And you know, a lot of times I would be down and out and didn't know really what to do or how to handle things. And my sister or my brother would come along and, you know, they would just say something to bless me and help me. And you know, a lot of times it wasn't what I wanted to hear. It went against my flesh. But I thank God that somebody loved me enough to help me and to tell me the truth.
Amen.
I looked at one of my grandnephews just one day this week. I believe it was Friday. And you know, he's a sweet little boy, but he is so unruly. And the thought came to me, why doesn't somebody love this child enough to correct him? I thank God today that Jesus loves us enough that he's going to correct us. I praise God for the correction. And I praise God, you know, for the elders that was in my life that, you know, sometimes they would preach a message. And I left the church with my head hung down. But I thank God that it showed me that you just can't go the way that you want to go and do what you want to do. You know, there is a price to pay, and there is a cross to bear. And a lot of people haven't understood that yet. They haven't got that far yet that that is sunk in, that there is a price to pay for the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to sing this little chorus, maybe the key of it. It's just a simple little song. I thought about that this morning. Maybe see. Oh, there's a song I started singing as a child in Sunday school. It would make me feel so happy. I loved it then, and I still do. For my mother or my father to not love me when I messed up. But you know, when I messed up, there was correction because they loved me. Hallelujah. Yeah. And Jesus loves us today. And you know, He's our friend. Yeah. You may feel like that you don't have a friend today, but praise God, if you got Jesus, I'm going to tell you, you have a friend.
Amen.
And you know, that is one of the sweetest songs. That's one of the sweetest things. One of the sweetest words I've ever heard, that Jesus loves me.
Yeah.
Praise God. And He loves us all today. I'm glad to be here. I thank the Lord today that we're here. You know, one of the songs Brother Eddie was singing, I just stood and I said, God, it is a privilege to serve you. It's an honor to serve you. Hallelujah. It's not a dread. I don't dread serving God. God don't make me serve Him. God don't make me worship Him. God didn't beat me over the head and say, hey, listen, you got to love me. Didn't work that way. But you know, today it is a privilege. It's an honor. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's an honor. You know, sometimes you be in a place and when certain people come into the room, just like the wedding yesterday afternoon. You know, when the bride started coming in, we all stood in reverence. And you know, that's okay. But how much more do we need to reverence, hallelujah, the one that died for us, hallelujah. You know, He was dead, but He's alive forevermore, hallelujah. And He's here today, and we need to reverence Him and praise Him and serve Him. And you know, it's a blessing to be here today. It's not a dread, hallelujah. I get up every day. I don't get up dreading what the day's going to bring. You know, there's people that get up every day of their life, and they just dread getting out of bed. A lot of people stay in bed because they feel like that they don't have a reason to serve God. But I'm telling you today, there's a reason to get up. Hallelujah. Get out of that bed. Put your feet on that floor and say, I thank God this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Brother Davis, come on up.
Hallelujah.
I want you to, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn over to 2 Peter. And I'm not going to dwell in 2 Peter too long. I just want to remind you, the last time I was here, I did read a verse, and I ministered on, if I remember right, I ministered on a message that most preachers won't preach and people don't want to hear. And it was from 2 Peter where the Word of God told us, said, wherefore, beloved, see that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And the things that he was saying that we look for was looking for, verse 12 and in chapter 3, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And I remember making some comments during that service, how that things were going to get worse, that men would be waxing worse and worse, that the end time scenario that we find in the Word of God would be swiftly coming to pass, and we were going to be seeing things. Seeing things that, you know, Jesus said, when you see these things, so, and he was talking about the second coming of the Lord. He said, when you see these things, what things was he talking about? Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in divers places. In other words, he was talking about an upheaval in the land, an upheaval in the world. That the world was going to be just going crazy. The world was going to be upside down. Things were going to be happening on a scale that the world has never seen. He talks about a time coming that of a tribulation that the world had never seen it. It was going to be so horrible. It would never, ever be again. It was going to be so bad at things that were going to happen. Mm-hmm. He likened it unto the days of Noah. He talked about, you know, the things that were happening at the time of Noah, how that men and women had just turned themselves over to beasts, and how that it was so horrible in the days of Noah. But it was going to be like that.
That's right.
In the coming of the Son of Man.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, and we talked a lot about that. And but since that time, that's been, couple of months ago, I think we were through here. And I don't think we've ever been back within 2 months, but I'm glad that we're here today.
Yes. Amen.
And we're going on up to Montana and Canada. We're going to, you know, we had to cancel a couple of those meetings up there. a couple of months ago when we feel led to go back up there, and the people want us there. They're hungry for God. Yeah. And things are happening in the world today that's turning people's attentions away from the world, and they're turning their attentions to God. We have sinner people asking us, what is going on?
Yes.
What is happening in the world? And you know, you look at Christians today, it seems like most of them are so unconcerned. But yet now we see things changing and people begin to question, you know, their very existence and the time that they're living in.
Yes.
Never before have we heard and seen the things that we're now hearing and seeing on television and the radio and the news media.
Amen.
We're living in the end time. There's no question about it. Now, I don't know, you know, I can't just absolutely state to you today that Jesus is coming here back to this world in 3 months from now or 6 months or 10 years. I don't know that. All I know is what I see and hear and feel in my spirit. And what I see and what I hear tells me of a time that has never before happened on this earth. I remember years ago, being in a church service and a minister speaking about things of the end, and he was coming against people like myself included that preached about the end time and how that the church would suffer horrible things during the end time, persecution and trials and tribulations and trouble was coming not only to America but throughout the whole world. And he made this statement. He said, these people... Now, this has been about 40 years ago, 30, 40 years ago. He said, these people preaching that the church is going to go through these things and they're going to be beheaded for the witness of Jesus. He said, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. He said, that all happened back in the Dark Ages, and that all happened back in the apostles' time. He said, but today we don't behead people. We don't do. We have the gas chamber, and we execute people. We shoot people, or we give them poison, and you know all these. But we don't. You don't hear about nobody beheads people anymore. You know, the Book of Revelation talked about them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Amen.
Yes, amen.
And for the testimony. But now, today, what do you hear? What do you see?
Yes.
You hear today, and you see people beheading people. You know, there's such I don't know how to describe it other than an atrocity that's happening in the Middle East, where these men are absolutely not only beheading men and women, but little children.
Yes.
You know, and they're crucifying people. They showed it on CNN, of all places, that would show something. They generally do not, you know, they're more of a liberal kind of a news media, so they generally don't show these things about Christians. But they did show where these people, this ISIS, this radical Muslim religion, these people, you know, that's got in their heart and mind to just destroy anyone and everybody that comes against their religion, how that they were crucifying people. And they showed the way they crucified was like a huge X, like this. It was like a big post into the ground, both ways, and strung up. And they had the people like this on that big X, crucifying them. So now we hear people crucifying people, beheading people. Amen. So now, you know, I thought about what that minister had said, and I thought, you know, he's probably not alive today, but I wish he was alive today. I would send him a little note.
Yes.
And I would say, what are you now seeing? What are you now hearing?
Yes.
We're living in the time that the Book of Revelations and Jesus and the apostles and the prophets of old foretold of.
Yes.
A time, amen, where men were going to become as beasts.
Yeah.
No, they have no kind of, they don't care anything about life. They have no respect for life. They have no respect for men or women or boys and girls. They would take a child, an innocent child, and behead that child just like that child was a dog. It doesn't mean anything to them. They have no feelings whatsoever that what they're doing is wrong or that it is evil. And the most saddest part of the whole thing, they're doing this in the name of God.
Their God.
In the name of God.
Yes.
That's what they're doing it for. They're all doing this. It is a religious war. Our country, our president, the Congress, the Senate, they have not yet woke up and realized that this is a religious war, a spiritual warfare that's going on in the world today. It's all about religion. It's all about God.
Yes.
Why? Well, we'll do this, and that'll stop them from doing that. We'll go over there, we'll teach them how to have a good economy. It has nothing to do with the economy.
No.
It has nothing to do with anything about government. It's all about religion. We're living in the closing hours of time, children of God.
Amen.
Amen. It's time to examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. It's time for people to draw close to the Lord.
Yes.
Because Jesus said, when you see these things, do what? Lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. In other words, Jesus is coming soon.
Yeah.
And I believe that the church needs to be on fire for God.
Amen.
So everywhere we're going, we're teaching people, amen, and letting them understand that, first of all, the time that we're living in. And second of all, once you realize the time you're living in, what should you be doing about it? Mm-hmm. What is your position? We know, what does God require of you?
Yes.
Amen. See, today, you know, we hear so much about self. We hear so much about prosperity and materialism and things and pleasures and money. And it seems like people's minds is all about themselves and how much they can gain out of this life.
Yes.
No one hardly anywhere is teaching that you must, you know, to die is to gain. Amen. Nobody is teaching, amen, the old paths, amen, to stand, amen, in the old paths, which is the right way. Hardly anybody is crying aloud and sparing the knot. But I do thank God for this. I do thank God that what we are now seeing, and I hate it, it had to come to this place, to where God had to reveal, amen, the end time because of what is happening. I hate that we had to come to this place, amen, that we could not draw close to God without these things happening. Amen. What is it about Christians? What is it about people that serve in God? Amen. Why do we have to have trouble? Why do we have to have despair? Why do we have to see horrible things before we'll draw close to God? Why do we have to go through, amen, sickness or trials or trouble or financial problems or marital problems or children problems to come and draw close to God? Why can't we live in the Spirit of God? Why can't we worship the Lord, get up every morning putting on Jesus, amen, and thanking and praise God for another day of life? Why can't we just worship and praise God continually every day and live for Him?
Amen.
Why does He have to cause these things to happen to draw us closer to Him? It's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. But we are living in the time of the end. And I was reading today, this morning, driving in, and also in 2 Peter. It's there in the second chapter, and I'm going to read through this, and then I'm going to read one verse in Romans, and I want to talk to you just a little bit this morning. In the second chapter of 2 Peter, it says in the first verse, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them or purchased them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious or evil or sinful ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you." How many know? Send you $100 and God will give you $1,000.
Yes.
You know, you need to buy this book. You've got to buy this tape. You've got to have this DVD. You've got to have this CD. It's imperative that you have that. In other words, selling the gospel.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Making merchandise of you. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. He's talking about a people that's preaching false things. And he's talking so much, not so much about before, but he's talking about what's going to happen. Amen.
Yes.
And then he says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them unto chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment." I was telling Sister Glenn to drive it in. I said, you know, so many people today preach that these demons are fallen angels, and they're here upon the earth, and they're you know, the fallen angels are the demons today, and they're all about us, and these demons are used to be angels that was with the devil, and they were all cast down, and all. But see, the Word of God, how many knows the Word of God is going to be true? The Word of God says that God cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness and reserved unto judgment. Listen, if they're been in chains of darkness, if they're chained, how can they be out here tormenting people? Amen. Demons are not angels. Demons are demons, praise God, according to the Word of God. Amen. Somebody say amen. That's heavy when you agree with it or not. It's what the Word says. Amen. So if God cast them down to hell, and the Bible says this, He cast them down to hell, delivered them into chains of darkness, and reserved them unto judgment. That means He put them back. He put them in chains. He put them in hell until one thing is going to happen, judgment. And they're reserved there. They're chained there. If I change you up, put you down in hell, and I said, I'm reserving you, I'm putting you here till the judgment, that means you're not getting out of hell till judgment comes. Amen.
Amen.
But He didn't spare the angels that sinned. He didn't spare His created beings that sinned. And then verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So He didn't spare the angels that sinned, and He didn't spare the old world.
No.
Amen. Because of sin and ungodliness. And then in verse 6 it says, and turned in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So He didn't spare those that sinned in the time of Lot. Amen. And amen. And then He said, let's go to verse 8. Verse 9, because the other talks about Lot. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise governments, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Now I believe He's talking about spiritual dignities. I believe He's talking about men and women of God that are really called of God. They're the people that they don't care who they talk about. They'll talk about anybody when the Word of God says plainly, speak evil of no man. Now the Lord really instructed me, this has been several years ago, to quit naming people's names.
Amen.
To preach the Word.
Amen.
To don't be calling people's names, TV preachers, or any of them.
Right.
And then He reminded me of the Apostle Paul, who was, amen, a person that hated Christians. Mm-hmm. That had papers, amen, to imprison Christians. Amen.
Amen.
And he said, you know, and the Lord told me, he said, listen, if I could change Paul, I could change anybody.
Amen.
So you don't know who's ordained, amen, can be changed. He said, quit talking about people. Preach the Word.
Amen.
I mean, if we just preach the Word, praise
right.
God, amen, we'll get the job done. Preach the truth,
preach
we'll
Jesus.
Get the job done.
Amen.
Speak evil of no man. And then he said, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not really accusation against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts. He's talking, all this chapter, he's talking about a people that teach false Christianity, that teach lies, amen, that brings all these damnable heresies, amen, that's not afraid to speak evil of dignities. He's talking about a ministry. He's talking about men and women that are preaching to people and teaching people. And Peter called them natural brute beasts. But these are natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. Speak evil of the things that they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Speaking evil of the things that they don't understand. That's why it's so important, amen, to be a disciple. So important to study the Word. So important to know the Word, amen. Because we can speak things, amen, that's not according to the knowledge of God.
Amen.
And well, I don't want to fall into this group of people, do you? I don't want to be falling myself or getting myself involved with people that are speaking these things, amen. How many know today grace is greatly perverted? I'm saved by grace today. I'm saved by the grace of God, and I am. Praise
yes.
God, and I thank God for His grace.
Amen.
But it's through faith, amen, that I'm saved by His grace, praise the Lord. And grace does not give me permission to live like the devil.
Right.
It today, people have perverted the message of grace.
Yeah.
Well, the ones that perverted the message of grace, as far as I'm concerned, are the ones that Peter said were natural brute beasts.
Yes, come on. It's true.
They're changing the Word of God. They're misinterpreting the Word of God because they don't understand the Word of God. So these are the things that we need to be careful of. So remember now, God did not spare the angels that sinned. God did not spare the old world. God did not spare, amen, Sodom and Gomorrah. Praise the Lord. Let's read one more verse. It's found over in the book of Romans. Turn with me to the book of Romans. And on the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. Do you love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
I want to live in the blessings of God because I want to be a blessing to others. Amen.
Amen.
See, if we get it all straight, amen, to be blessed of God, amen, if we want to be blessed of God, if we will use God's blessing to be a blessing to others, I guarantee you God will bless you.
Yes.
God will bless you.
Amen.
Now look at Romans chapter 11 in verse 20. He's talking about the Jews' religion. And he says, well, because of unbelief, somebody say unbelief.
Unbelief.
They were broken off.
Mm-hmm.
And thou standest by faith.
Yes.
Be not high-minded.
No, come on.
But what?
Fear.
But fear.
Come on.
Then he says, for if God spared not, there's that spare not again.
Mm-hmm.
For if God spared not the natural branches,
amen.
His people, His church. The Jews were His people. But the Word of God says, for if God spared not the natural branches, He didn't spare them because of their unbelief. The others He didn't spare because of their sin. Here He didn't spare natural Israel because they didn't believe, because of their unbelief. For if God spared not the natural branches, and here's our warning today, take heed, lest He also spare not thee. What does that do to the message of grace that you can live any way you want to and still be saved?
No,
he said very clearly that to us to take heed, lest he also spare not thee or us. Then he says, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity. How did they fall in unbelief? Severity. But toward the goodness, if, somebody say if thou continue in his goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shall, or thou also shall be cut off. Now that's dangerous. That's a dangerous thing. That's a dangerous statement to make.
Amen.
And you know, when you read these things and when you see how God spared not the angels of sin, spared not the old world,
amen,
spared not those in Sodom and Gomorrah, spared not the natural branches, then we should take heed that he also spared not us.
Amen.
It is a dangerous thing when you fall into the hands of a living God.
Yes.
We want to be blessed. We want to be happy. We want to have the fullness of joy. We want to have peace and tranquility in our lives. But yet many people today don't understand how to get this peace, to get this tranquility, to get the power of God operating in their life, to get the blessings of God operating in this life. It's when you submit yourself to God. It's when you give yourself to the Lord. It's when you commit your life to the Lord that His goodness begins to come upon you, and His grace begins to come upon you, and His peace and His tranquility and all the good things that we read about in the Word of God, they come through submission when we submit ourselves to God. This is the message the church needs to hear today in this age, amen, of a mixture, amen, of grace, praise the Lord, to live like you want to live and still have everything from God. It's just not going to work that way. It is a deception from the pit of hell. Natural brute beasts, natural carnal, amen, men and women, praise the Lord, misinterpreting the Word of God, looking over all of these scriptures to try to permit or try to promote a gospel, amen, that you can live like you want to live, live like the devil, and have the blessings of God in your life. It is a lie. Somebody say it's a lie.
It's a lie.
It will not stand the test of the scriptures.
No.
It is a given fact that most people, amen, and I'm talking about people in church and history that profess to know the Lord.
Yes.
They will not let the Word of God get in their way of what they believe. They will leave out scripture after scripture after scripture, amen, to force their belief in a particular verse of scripture. They do not rightly divide the word of truth, amen. So I want to say to you this day, amen, you're on the straight and the narrow way. Don't look to the left and don't look to the right. Keep on keeping on, praise God, amen. Keep on, amen, in the message of God, and living in separation from the world and holiness, praise God, and worship and praising God. Praise the Lord. Keep on keeping on the path that you're on, amen. Don't look, amen, to what's going on in the world, because, amen, we in this day and this hour, we are going to be the light of the world. We're going to be the light that's going to shine in the world of darkness. But listen, on the other hand, let's not judge others, amen. Let's just preach and live the word of God.
Amen.
You can do more by living the light before people than you ever can do preaching to the people.
Yes.
People are looking for somebody today that's got Jesus in their life. They're looking for somebody today that's got joy. Amen. Too many Christians today, amen, because of what's going on in their own lives, amen. They walk around gloom, doom, despair, and agony. They walk around like they've lost their best friend. They walk around, amen, like it's just so sad, praise the Lord. But listen, amen, you and I, born again, Holy Ghost filled, blood washed Christians, ought to be the happiest people on planet Earth.
Right.
We ought to be the ones that have the greatest joy of any people upon the earth.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, the afflictions that we go through, the trouble that we go through in the flesh, amen, the disappointments, the despair, the sicknesses, all the afflictions that happen, let me tell you something, they're nothing but minor afflictions that we face, amen. Amen. What we go through in this life is nothing compared, amen, to the glory that's going to be revealed, praise God. If we persevere, amen, and hold on to the end, praise God, I'm telling you, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
The best is yet to come.
Amen. That's
can you say amen?
Amen.
The best is yet to come.
Yes.
Listen to what this scripture says. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most
miserable.
Miserable. In other words, if all my hope was to have plenty of money in the bank, and I can pay my bills, clothes on my back, food in my belly, and everybody likes me, everybody loves me, everything's great, and I've got all the money in this world, I'm going to tell you something. If this was all there was to it, I would be a man most miserable. Look at this comedian that just killed himself, committed suicide. You know, someone was watching, I think it was CNN. They gave about 60 seconds, maybe, or might have been a local news, about 60 seconds to the atrocities that's being done in Iraq right now. And then they gave 20 minutes on the comedian's life, talking about how great he was. Well, there's nobody great that commits suicide. But here was a man that had it all. Here was a man that had it all. I think it said somewhere in the news where he had 3 movies that's not even been released yet. Had all the money in the world. Had another wife. Probably had a young wife. I don't know. But in other words, he had a big home.
Yes.
Everything that he needed, everything that he wanted, this man had. Why did he commit suicide? Oh, he was depressed. What was he depressed about?
Didn't have God.
If I had all that money, I wouldn't be depressed, sister. But I got the Lord.
Amen.
Why was he depressed? Because he didn't have the most important thing in a person's life. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Unless you get it right. How many know somebody get the cart before the horse? And the cart before the horse, there's the cart with all the money and all the pleasure and everything that you need in this life, but you don't have the horse to pull the cart. makes it work. Get Jesus in your life. Praise the Lord. Get born again. Get transformed by the power of the God of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to tell you something. You will have peace without any money in the bank. You will have joy without any clothes upon your back and hardly nothing to eat and sickness in your body. You'll still have peace. You cannot be depressed.
That's right.
And have Jesus at the same time. They're not going to live in the same body. Brother Hazel, you telling me that we can't be depressed? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the only way you can be depressed is when you allow it.
Yes.
He didn't have the power to deal with the depression.
That's right.
You got the power to deal with depression.
Yes,
I'd be telling your life. I've never been oppressed. I heard a preacher one time say Christians can't be depressed. See, they can be oppressed, but they can't be depressed. And I said, well, I said, beg your pardon, I've been oppressed and depressed both.
That's right.
How many have been oppressed and depressed both since you've been born again? But how did I deal with it? I began to think about Jesus. I was in an airplane one time, and I don't know, something got a hold of me. A little plane flying in the jungle somewhere. I think it's Glenn and I. And just something got a hold of me, and I was like talking to myself, and it had to be the devil said, well, I don't care if this plane was to crash. I'm tired of living anyway. What was that? That was a spirit. That was a spirit of what?
It was depression.
Suicide.
Yes, it was.
The devil wants you to take your life.
Yes, he does.
Amen. Why? Because it's murder.
Yes.
But the devil wants to destroy you. If God bless you, amen, amen, and you were born again, and you're a Christian, you've got the Spirit of God in you, and you've really got everything that you need.
Right.
He can deceive you into thinking that life is not worth living.
Come on, that's true.
When you have everything, that's what life is all about. Yes. It's a deception from the devil.
Yes.
That man did not have what he needed to have peace in his life and joy in his life. If he could have found Jesus, yeah. If he could have quit laughing long enough to realize there is a creator,
yes,
that created all things, amen. Yes. And they sent his only son and loved him, if he would accept him and be born again,
right,
he would have never committed suicide.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's when the devil tricks you.
Tricks you.
I had a call just not long ago, a text. And how the enemy is warfaring against this brother that we know and his family trying to destroy him. And I let him understand what you're going through is just the devil.
Yes, it is.
It's the enemy trying to destroy you. He's the enemy. And I told him, listen, the devil cannot stop you. Mm-hmm. He can hinder you, but he cannot stop you. Only you can stop you.
That's right.
It's when you let the voices of negativism, the voices of defeat, the voices of murder, the voices of mayhem, the voices, amen, that keep telling you you're not going to make it, things are not going to work out, this is not going to happen for you, amen. When you give yourself to those voices, it's the only way that the devil can defeat you. But if you'll just give yourself to the voice of God, you will stand in the midst of trouble, you'll stand in the midst of a trial, you'll stand in the midst of hardship, you'll stand in the midst of things with everything that's going on, you'll be able to stand when you listen to the voice of God.
Yes.
Because we're living in a time of seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. We're living in this time that 2 Peter is talking about.
Yes.
And God is warning the church to listen. And the greatest warning to me is don't fall into unbelief.
Yes.
Unbelief is sin.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's keep on the straight and the narrow way. But let's walk this walk, amen, being an example to others, amen, that we're not condemning anyone. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him, praise the Lord. He didn't come with condemnation. He came with life and joy and peace, amen, and happiness, praise the Lord. And you and I have, amen, if you're born again this morning, you have what Jesus promised, amen. We have it within us, praise the Lord. Let's reveal it to a lost and dying world. Let's let people know there's a God that loves them.
That's right, amen.
But also at the same time, there is a commitment,
yes,
that must be made. Mm-hmm. And that commitment is your life.
Amen.
It's your body. Offer up your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Give yourself to God.
Amen.
And he'll give himself to you.
Yes, he will.
Though God is not going to spare in the day that we're living in. He's proved himself over and over and over. Why do you think these things are written? These are New Testament scriptures. These are not Old Testament scriptures. This is in the New Testament. Warning who?
Us.
He's not warning the world of these scriptures.
No.
Peter's not warning the world. In Romans, Paul is not warning the world. He's warning the church people that say they love Jesus.
Yeah.
And he's saying to the church, the people that love Jesus, take heed lest he also spare not thee. How should we take heed? Staying in that straight and narrow way. Amen. Keep loving Jesus. Keep giving ourselves to him every day. Dying to daily. Jesus said, take up the cross daily. Paul said, I died daily. What was he dying to? He was dying to self. He was dying to the world. He was dying to sin. But he did it when?
Every day.
And he was saved by the same grace that you are and that I am. But he understood. Because he wrote Romans. And Peter confirmed this in 2 Peter. God is not a God that's playing church.
No.
A lot of people want to play church. But you know what? The end thereof is the ways of death.
Yes.
There's always been a way that seems right to man. There's always been a way that seems right to man. I want to read this to you. I put it in my magazine several years ago. It's about the game of life. And you know, everybody is playing a game today, it seems.
Yes.
People are coming to church, it's a game to them.
Yeah.
They want a pat on the back. They want something from God, but they don't want to give God nothing.
Right.
One time someone called us for prayer. Sister Linda was talking to him. And this particular person, had called for prayer many times, and God had delivered this person many times. But this person never would serve God. They wouldn't commit to God. So here they were in trouble again. And they called, and I remember Sister Glenda saying to this person over the phone, she said, let me ask you something. Why should God do anything for you? You don't do nothing for God. You don't serve God. You won't give God your life. You won't obey him. Why should God do anything for you?
Amen.
He has healed you in the past. He's delivered you in the past. He's blessed you in the past. He's done all these things for you, but you never wanted to ever do anything for God. Why should God do anything for you? Oh. See, these scriptures, amen, and I'm quoting here and reading to you, amen. It's like God said, I'm not going to spare anymore. I'm not going to spare.
Come on.
Oh. I'm afraid that we're living in a time when many are going to be turned over to a reprobate mind.
Yes.
Children of God, I hate it.
Me too.
Because I'm an evangelist, and all my life I've given myself, amen, to stirring people up, warning people, trying to get people saved and get people baptized.
Right.
But you know, I see time running out and I see the church cold.
Amen.
And lukewarm. And some of them are backslidden, not on fire for God anymore. Sometimes we go from church to church. Churches, amen, used to have 300 people in it. Now they're down to 20 or 30 people. I mean, something's going on, praise the Lord. Do you know what's going on? People are falling away from the fundamental truths of the Word of God. And they're listening to these damnable people, amen, that are brute beasts delivering a gospel the Antichrist gospel.
That's right. Amen.
But here's what I put in. It's called The Game of Life. I don't even know who wrote it. But it says, are you ready to play? Okay, now remember. It's a game now. It said, are you ready to play? Okay, now remember. The point of the game is to run as fast as you can from the womb to the tomb. In other words, run as fast as you can during your life. From the womb to the tomb. Without ever dealing seriously with Jesus Christ. There was a time in my life I didn't want to hear nothing about Jesus. There was a time in my life I didn't want to deal about this thing about Jesus. I couldn't sit and watch Billy Graham. I'd have to walk out of the room because I didn't want to deal with it. I would get convicted watching Billy Graham. And I just walk out of the room. I couldn't deal with it. I didn't want to deal with Jesus. I was too busy in my life. The world is where it's at. This is the attitude of people playing this game. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Bucks, money, image, and all the good times you can get. There are only a few rules now in this game. Don't think for yourself. Follow the crowd and never seek expectantly more in life from Jesus. Just disregard him. If you want, you can play church. But just keep on running for yourself. Okay, now, get in the line like everybody else. On your mark, get set, go. Push, strike. strive, get ahead. Go to school. That's it, that's it. Only faster, faster. Now get a job. Survival. Make some money. Keep smiling. Find a wife. Settle down. More stuff. Nicer stuff. Concerts. Nightclubs. Health spas. TV. Music. Louder. Louder. Catch a buzz. More. Get wired. Max out. More hype. Got to have more inside. Just keep running. Don't pay any attention to the fears and emptiness inside you. Just keep running. They'll go away. Just turn on the tube or stereo and keep that hype going. Finally, the old crud is getting old. Death. Another sucker bites the dust. Satan's voice will keep you running all the way to hell. Yes. And let me tell you, dear friend, eternity and hell is no game. No good time is worth it. But yeah. You know what? Is that the way it is?
Yes. Amen. Exactly.
That's really the way it is.
It is.
Everybody, it's all about self.
Yes, it is.
Man.
What can I get out of this?
Yeah.
What can I get out of this?
What's for me?
How is this going to help me pursue the things that I want in my life?
Yes.
When in reality, if you choose Jesus,
yes,
you will have everything that you would ever want in your life. Because when you're born again, your nature changes.
Mm-hmm.
Your want to changes. And then the things that you used to want, you now hate. Because of Jesus. If every person could just find this Jesus, what a wonderful world it would be. You wouldn't hear of murder or mayhem or robbery. You wouldn't hear about beheading people. You wouldn't hear about crucifying people. There would be no more wars. There would be no rumors of wars. Amen. It would be peace, but how many knows it's not going to really happen until Jesus returns.
Amen.
So what are we to do at this time?
Amen.
We're to keep on keeping on.
That's right.
We're not to be swayed to the right or swayed to the left.
Amen.
We're to live our life before the Lord the way the Scriptures has told us, and we are to warn, amen, our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
Take heed. Take heed. He spare not the angels of sin. He spared not the old world. He spared not Sodom and Gomorrah. He spared not the natural branches. Take heed that he also spare not thee. How do we do it? Keeping on.
Amen.
In this world. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. How many's going to keep on keeping on with Jesus?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Amen. Because the fearful times that we're living in, I mean, you know, it's a wake up time to me.
Amen.
If this doesn't, if what's happening today don't wake people up, I don't know what will wake them up.
Amen.
I don't know what will wake them up. But I'll tell you what, I'm looking for Jesus. I don't know what you're looking for. Praise God. I don't care. Amen. The Antichrist, let him come. Praise the Lord. I'm not worried about the Antichrist. I'm not worried about the mark of the beast. I'm not worried about tribulation. I'm not worried about persecution. I'm ready to die for the Lord. I'm ready to go and be with Jesus. Let it happen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Now think about this. There are thousands now, and I don't know how many thousands. There's actually, I think, the last statistic that I read, it's been a number of years ago, where there was like either 36,000 or 56,000 Christians are killed every year for their faith in Jesus. But now it's a much, much more. Can you imagine, here's this little family, and the last time, I think Sister Glenda's telling me, she'd see, there was a family of eight, I believe it was, Sister Glenda, that was gathered and they were reading their Bibles. And they burst through the door. You know what happened? Told them to put those Bibles down and convert to Islam or be killed. You know what they did? They left their Bibles open. The whole family was shot and killed. I just seen, amen, on the news on my phone before I come here, how that, I forget how many hundreds of men that separated the men from the women and children. Men aged 13 and up. From age 13, that was separated, took them off to the side, kept the woman and the lesser children over, took all the men and shot all the men unless they converted to Islam. Think about it now. What if it happens in this country. Oh, brother, he's out there. Don't tell me.
That's right.
You just don't know how fast things can change.
That's right.
They're all around you. All around you. They own most all of the convenience stores, gas stations, motels, hotels. What is it about? Restricting travel. Stopping men like me from traveling and warning the people of God. Amen? I'm telling you, it is far closer right now. Of course, you probably knew this for years. In the United Kingdom, in England, it is, you cannot preach openly Jesus on the streets there. It's against the law. In the whole United Kingdom, you cannot preach. I think the way it was said that I heard once, heard it said this way, you can't say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You'll be arrested. You can say the Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and you might can get by with it. But you cannot say it in the United Kingdom. Now, think about it. Countries, whole countries now are completely under the control of radical Islam. Complete countries. And I forgot now the statistics in the United Kingdom, but I think it's like around 50% now. Sister Cunha, you remember the statistic that's now Muslim? It's a huge percentage. I don't want to misquote it. That right now, they are taking over, and they're in this country, right in Murfreesboro, right down the street from Brother Tiffany's church, is a huge mosque. You've seen it. A huge mosque there they built. It's all on the TV and everything, all on the national news about it. It's just right down the road from Brother Tiffany's church. It's everywhere. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We better wake ourselves up.
Yes.
And you know, to wait for me to be woke up, I'm going to draw close to God.
Amen.
That's the only way I know how to stay awake. Draw close to God.
Yes.
I urge you, children of God, to keep on keeping on.
Amen.
And draw close to the Lord. Love people.
Yes.
Amen. You know, my message is, you know, I believe in grace as much and strong as anybody. But I'm not a perverter of grace. Amen. But I want you to know, we love you. And we're thankful to be able to come back here for the next to that this morning's service and that service. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.